and most omnipotent God. I come before you having the rush of the week, traveling back and forth out of town, and here I stand. I stand, Lord, just as I am, asking you to cleanse me, pour me, renew me, restore me, and allow the very words that I speak, the reactions that I take, that they be centered, O God, in what you desire for each of us present to hear. For those who have ears, may they be open. For those who have eyes, may we look out. May you, O God, come into this moment, into our hearts, that we might hear a word from you. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, wait a minute. Come on now. Let me just tell y'all something right now. Let me get this out. When I say good morning, I mean good morning. So let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now that's what I'm talking about. That sounds good. Because otherwise, I was thinking y'all was still napping. And we just got here this morning. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has placed on my heart for you and for me to hear the words that are found in the book of James. James is, we're not really sure whether James is Jesus' brother or whether he's another James. The great artists and statisticians and theologians we're kind of like, we know James exists, but we're not really sure whether he's the brother of Jesus or not, but we got James in the book, and James is here. The other piece about James is that James, when he speaks to us, and as you have heard the scripture read for you just a few minutes ago, James falls in that character in the Christian text of the Hebrew text of that sort of wisdom language, sort of like Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and Song of Solomon. He tends to tell us things about how we might want to act, how we might want to live. And in the time in which James was speaking his word of truth, it would have been yet a struggle, as it always has been, for those to hear the true word of God, to hear what God desires of you, what Jesus had taught. By now, Jesus has left the scene. There is no Christ. Christ has risen and time has passed. And so here he is in this community trying to remind them of how they ought to act, how they ought to be one with the other. In essence, that's really what the preaching and what the ministry of Christ is always about. It's about trying to tell us and show us and remind us how we should live in community one with the other. And for James this day, the Lord has placed on my heart for us to look at this passage in James, where James talks about wisdom. Wisdom. James would say that heavenly wisdom is gentleness and moderation, courtesy and humility. That's what was read for you this morning. On the other side, he talks about the other side. He talks about earthly wisdom. That you and I, well, we create ourselves. And he says when that happens, what that wisdom is centered in, it's centered in bitterness and envy, selfishness and ambition, and, oh, Lord, you're going to hear this word, false truth. I believe that would be, in our time, fake news. Right? James is telling us that there are two ways that you and I, two kinds of paths you and I can choose, two types of wisdom we can have. One that is about me, Lord have mercy. One that is about my own selfish goals, selfish ambitions, my own selfish thoughts. Or it can be centered in gentleness and kindness and mercy and compassion. I just all of the things that we would hope would be goodness from us to the other. And then he goes one step further and he says, godly wisdom. Here's the troubling one. is peaceable, does not dominate, yields good fruits to all of God's people, to all of God's people, openly. It's not reserved, it's not hidden, it's not something where we'll come and we'll talk to Pastor Epeso in the secret, but we won't do it in the public. We won't claim Jesus on the marketplace, but we'll do it in the dark back room of the kitchen. We won't stand up and say, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied every groan on the public sphere, in the subway, along the park, but we'll tell somebody in secret. But he says, godly wisdom is open, it's out there, it's not hidden. You can't hide it, by the way. Because in order to do godly wisdom, it means you've got to love and you've got to listen. It means you've got to reach out and you've got to serve. In order to do godly wisdom, it's not something that is held in the dark recesses of your mind. It's not simply a thought. It's an action. It's a deed. It's how you live your life. You're going to hear that a lot from me. Because so often we tend to think that we are not seen. That we just go about our everyday lives and nobody notices us. But people are looking at us all the time. I notice that when I'm sitting in my office, and my office, for those of you who will know, it's in that little corner, and it's in the corner of where North Lakewood and Berwyn are. And I'll sometimes look up out the window, and I'll notice that people are walking by, and they try to peer down the window. So I'm very careful to make sure what they're looking at is all right. You know, I'm not doing something crazy. But one of these days, I'm actually going to put the music on and be dancing. Be getting down with it. So they'll see that. Why is James talking about wisdom? Why is James? Because James is aware that the people's behavior who are claiming Christ as their rock and redeemer does not reflect what godly wisdom looks like. It does not reflect what heavenly wisdom would be. That in essence, that it is in that sense that their wisdom, their way of living, their way of being is all about what will be good for them. Their wisdom is stroken, is written in the process saying, if it's good for me, then it's good wisdom. If it's good for you, but not for me, God, well, I don't know about that, dog. I don't know. Flo, if it's all right with you and me, it's good, but if God is doing something, it ain't right. Sam, that wisdom is one that says that I will sit with you in the coffee shop. I may not understand fully everything that's going on in your journey, but I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to be present with you, and I'm going to invite you to be present with me. And if there's a story, if there's a situation that you're in, I'm not going to give you my advice. And Lord have mercy, we know where that goes. I'm not giving you my advice. I'm actually, before I offer a word of advice to you, I'm actually going to say, Sam, let's have a word of prayer. So that God can come in and God can direct what we say and how we do. But unfortunately, my friends, we do live in a world of fake news. We do live in a world where it is about my own ambition, my own wealth, my own power, my own desire. And we are being cautioned as people of God to be careful about how we use our wisdom, how we claim our wisdom, and how we check our wisdom. Do you check it against what Jesus would say? Do you check it against what Jesus would do? Or are you checking it from a book from somebody else? Are you checking your wisdom? Now listen, my family, my mom, my grandmother, all of the elders in my life have given me some great stuff. But not one of them has given me all the stuff. Because some of the stuff that they say, I'm like, is going in one ear and out the other. Because it doesn't work. I'm going to tell the truth. It doesn't. And some of the wisdom that was had is no longer wise anymore. The world is not what it used to be. And we have to claim that. We have to realize that we're in a different time and place. And yet, it's hard. you this story. I did a study under Lee Strobel, and Lee Strobel was a columnist, and but he also became a faithful Christian as he struggled with this sense of who Christ was. And he created this, he wrote this book called A Case for Christ, and I read it, and then he did a lecture series, and I took part in it. And then I came across this story as we think about wisdom. He received a phone call from a father desperate to find his missing 19-year-old daughter. She was a good girl, never in any trouble, not much more than an innocent child, and now she was gone. The police were helping. Would he alert the city to her disappearance? Moved by his anguish, Strobel began to pursue the story. But when he interviewed his daughter's friends and the police, a much different story emerged. Tragically, it turned out she had been a drug addict and a petty criminal, the girlfriend of a gang member, and a part-time prostitute. When the police found her body a few days later, they determined she had been the victim of a heroin overdose. Strobel didn't have the heart to tell her father all the details he had learned about her lifestyle. He sincerely believed she was an innocent child, but he had been wrong. His love for his daughter had blinded him. He had seen what he wanted to see, overlooking obvious clues that pointed to another direction. Sometimes wisdom requires us to say nothing or to be careful with what it is that we say. Sometimes wisdom calls us to be careful with the words that exude from our mouths. Here in Chicago, we have a trial going on, and it's a very sensitive trial. And what will happen when that verdict is given? Will we respond as a community and as a church and as a city in a way that is wise? Or will we be one that is foolish, that is set on our own selfish expectations? Will we go to God in prayer when this verdict is rendered? Or will we let our own selves become out of control in a way that benefits none? Yes, my brothers and sisters, it is painful. It is painful once again to know that a young black man would be shot in the street. Cameras rolling. It is shocking to know that we are still yet trying to figure a case out that is so blaring in our faces. And it does create a sense of tension, a sense of anxiety, a sense of nervousness, a sense of what do we do? And as the clergy and I were meeting earlier this week, we acknowledge that neither side is going to be happy. No matter what the verdict is, there's going to be someone who's on the opposite side. There's going to be someone who is struggling with what happens next. There's going to be someone struggling with how, what the sentence may be or may not be. There will be someone who is in a place of despair and lament. There will be someone who is happy and okay. But this is a call for you and me here at North Shore Baptist Church. It's a call for us in the midst of those things that happen in our world to be wise about how we respond and how we react. I was glad to be a part of a clergy group that is saying, how are we going to face this? And one of our ideas was that when the verdict is rendered, we want to open our churches up an hour after the verdict is written. And anyone who wants to come and to sit and to be in this place, is welcome to come and to spend time in the presence of God. Whether you are in a place of contentment or whether you're in a place of dismay. But we also said that, you know, we as a community need to find a way to be together. And wisely we said, we should offer a place for all of us as a community to gather together, to sit together, and to be together for those who choose. And so we said, the Sunday after it is given, we will offer a community space for all of God's children to get together. Not in a house, but in God's house that will be open for all. That is heavenly wisdom. That is God's wisdom. That we think how we might come together and how we might pray together and how we might spend time together. Because brothers and sisters, the times when which we are going to need wise wisdom have only just begun. When James talked about this, this was over 2,000 years ago. And guess what? We are still struggling to be wise with each other and for this world. It has not gotten to the place it needs to be. And I'm wondering, is it because we don't preach this message more often? That we don't talk about how we are called to be one in community together? It is why I began our welcome today with one church and many cultures, with one word and many perspectives. It is why I began with us, realizing that we are not single, and the wisdom that we have to offer from one to another ought to be centered here and here. Not here. When it's centered here, we will be ambitious, we will be selfish, and we will say things